Here with you on the Dave Elswick Show, and Jerry Cox is going to join us in just a moment. He's going to talk about the session thus far, things that he's happy to see, things that he wasn't happy to see, and the things that are, I don't know, gray area, doesn't matter. How's that? We can do that. We've got Paul is here. We've got RD here. We've got Iverson Jackson here with us. I guess I always need to say Pastor Iverson Jackson so everybody knows that we've got the man, the myth and the legend sitting in the studio with us today. Jerry, say hello to me and let me see if I can hear you.
Hey, guys. How are y'all this morning?
Good morning. Great.
Yeah, we're good.
Hey, all my you got all my friends there this morning there, Dave. I need to come over and join you guys.
Well, here in the future, let's do that because, you know, this is the power panel. They're here every Monday.
Yeah.
You know?
You got the good guys there.
I think so. I believe so. All right, so Ken Yang sent me a press release that caught my attention. And it was your thoughts about the 2021 General Assembly that's going on right now. You had good things to say. You had other, acts and bills that went through that you didn't have such good things to say. Why don't we start off with what do you think is the biggest win thus far this session?
Well, that's a tough one. I could give you the top three probably.
Okay.
But for us, it was the Medical Rights of Conscience Act. Finally, after 6 years of working on this, we were able to get it passed. And here's why this is so important. First of all, it's the best medical rights of conscience law in the nation. Secondly, in this crazy era where the whole transgender movement has started to try to really oppress physicians and say, you have to help me transition or try to transition from male to female and try to force doctors to do that. And others that would like to force doctors to do abortions and other procedures that go against their conscience. And so thankfully the legislature passed a really good rights of conscience bill. So that's a really big deal. The other one that got a lot of attention, of course, was the transgender or the gender reassignment bill that Robin Lundstrom sponsored.
And that the governor vetoed it.
Yes, that was a big win, not only because the legislature passed that good law. And just to be clear, this law says that you cannot try to change little boys into girls and little girls into boys. It only applies to minors, people who are under the age of 18. And all that garbage about if people are going to commit suicide, they can't get treatment. No, you can get any kind of treatment in the world except trying to change a person from male to female or vice versa if they are a child. But the really big win on that is when the legislature, within 24 hours of the governor's veto, just threw it right back at him and said, no, we're not going to let you veto this and get away with it. We're going to override it. And in fact, in the House of Representatives, they got more votes on the override than they did on the original bill. They got 72 votes out of 100.
That's pretty cool.
So that was a big deal. But we have others, Dave, that we could talk about. But those generated a lot of attention.
Yeah, can I go back and talk about that bill just a little bit, and especially the veto of the governor, who said that if William Buckley and Ronald Reagan were alive today, that they would have been against that bill. And I hate to tell the governor this, no, they would not have.
That's just, it's nonsensical for to me. Here's why. Who in their right mind thinks it's okay to surgically change a little boy into a girl, or try to? Who in their right mind thinks it's okay to surgically try to alter the anatomy of a little girl to try to make her look like a little boy? That's ridiculous.
I think that's the key. It's about being in their right mind. We've got children who are they need guidance, and we have adults who are leading them astray.
Adults that are allowing kids to make decisions that affects them for the rest of their lives that they would not allow them to do anything else like that.
Yeah, we don't allow children to decide to quit brushing their teeth. It's insane.
Yeah, and Paul, to that point, Representative Lundstrom pointed out a whole litany of things that we don't let kids do, like buy alcohol, buy cigarettes, drive an automobile. You know, you can go down the list of things that children don't get to do, but all of a sudden, if they want to try to change themselves from male to female and vice versa, that's okay. And here's follow the science. You know, you hear people say that. Well, let's follow the science. We are male or female down to our chromosomes, down to the basic level of who we are. It is impossible to change a person from male to female or vice versa. You can go through all the gyrations and you can take hormone treatments and do surgeries and all that. But guess what? At the end of the day, you're still male or you're still female the way you were made. And, you hear people talk about the suicide rate and they say, there's a high suicide rate. Well, yes, there really is, unfortunately, a very high suicide rate among people with gender issues. But here's what the science has proven over many years, is that if a person gets a gender reassignment procedure of some sort and they come out on the other side of that, their suicide rate is just as high as it was to begin with. It's not fixing that problem, because the problem is not with their anatomy. It's with what's in their heart and mind.
Yeah, it's a mental thing, and they need to be getting help, and I don't have any problem with that. I just find that whole argument of, well, if they feel like they're a certain thing, then they should be able to be a certain thing. And I use an illustration that is over the top. It's hyperbole, but I think it carries the weight of what I'm trying to say. And that is, if my friend came up to me and told me that he felt like a gorilla, what do I do? Do I try to get him someplace to talk to somebody that he's not a gorilla, or do I buy him 20 pounds of bananas?
Well, and make no mistake, Dave, and I know you guys feel the same way, we don't want to beat up on a child that's having problems. And that is not the purpose of this law. This law is there to protect those children. Mm-hmm. From something that could be irreparable harm to them. And that really is the motivation behind that law. And it got all twisted out of shape, and people made it sound like people were angry at people that were transgender and all that. And it's not that. It's really trying to protect little kids.
They twisted that law like they did about 5 years ago with the RFRA. You remember how they twisted up?
Oh, I was there. Yeah.
They're framing us.
It was.
It's what they're doing. They're always trying to frame Christians as being people that hate other people. But we just believe that the Creator had a plan for us all, and that we can only achieve peace and happiness whenever people follow the plan and things go better. The same plan for right and wrong and the golden rule and many other things that he told us that leads to peace and happiness. And if you follow it, it's better. But thanks for being with us. This is R.D., but I was just going to let you know, I was watching television for a few minutes, and there was a bicycle event up in Fayetteville. You know, the Waltons are real big on bicycling.
Okay.
So they built a big complex up there, which is great. I love to ride bikes, too. But they had a big national event up there, and a lot of the cyclists were not coming to the event because that Arkansas was no more friendly to people that of the LGBT because we weren't friendly to them anymore, and they didn't want to come down here and be ostracized or treated badly to come to Arkansas. And someone with the Department of Tourism was interviewed, and they said that they understood the way those people feel, that this Fayetteville area up there in the state of Arkansas was trying to bring tourism and bring people to Arkansas, and the legislature was trying to run people off. And she was basically saying that she didn't blame them for not coming.
Wait. Do we have roadblocks on the major roads coming into Arkansas, and we make people tell us whether they're straight or whether they're, you know, gay or whether they're transgender? Do we ask those questions of people?
I saw one of those signs when I was coming back from Chicago a couple of weeks ago.
You did.
To Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I had to stop and fill out an application.
Oh, okay.
It's just real. This is ridiculous, Jerry. That argument is ridiculous.
And here's the thing. Y'all remember a few years ago when North Carolina had their bathroom bill.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And people said, oh, everybody's going to leave North Carolina. All the corporations are going to pack up and leave. All these threats. You know what? North Carolina's economy has boomed ever since. They haven't missed a beat. That's just a lot of talk on the part of people that want to scare lawmakers and others that may not have very deep resolve on this issue. And, at some point, the dollar is not worth doing things that you know are wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
Even if it were true that Arkansas might benefit financially, well, listen, guys, there are a lot of things that all of us might do that would benefit us financially, but it still wouldn't be right.
Right.
And I don't want our state to get into that.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Hey, look, I'm not going to open the biggest bordello in Arkansas or open up the largest strip joint in Arkansas. I'm not going to do that. All right. That's just what I'm not. You know, somebody else might want to, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Like gambling and marijuana.
You have to do what's. Yeah. So you have to do what's right as a person, as a state, as a government. And so I'm glad to see our lawmakers doing what's right.
Yeah.
And so they did. They really did. Not only on this bill, but on a number of bills, they stood up and did the right thing. Legislature gets beat up a good bit, and some of it they deserve, but not all. And on balance, they've done very well this session.
All right, let's take a break, Jerry. We'll be back with you in a moment. You can go refill your coffee cup or whatever it is you're having. You might be having apple juice. I don't know. But the bottom line is you're listening to the Dave Elswick Show. The power panel's here. We've got Paul Calvert, R.D. Hopper, and, of course, Pastor Iverson Jackson with us. Our special guest who's going to be with us for this hour is going to be Jerry Cox from the Arkansas Family Council. We'll continue our conversation with him as we return. I want to remind you that Applied Research Center has these new COVID-19 rapid tests ready to go and treatment. ARC walk-in clinic over on Rodney Parham over by the king over there, the king of hamburgers. You know, you want to go find them over there right down the road from Party Time, and they'll be able to give you one of these COVID-19 rapid tests. And if you need treatment as well, it includes a rapid test and medical evaluation. Now, treatment and follow-up visits are included if the test is positive. So this way you can go in and get the results quickly. You don't have to wait several days. And in a lot of different businesses, you go out and get the test and you happen to wait. That means that you got to quarantine yourself and the whole nine yards, you know, hang out in your bedroom and not come out and, you know, talk to your family or whatever. Call 501-954-7822. 501-954-7822 to schedule an appointment today. All right, back with you here on the Dave Elswick Show. It's 6:24 in the morning. If you're getting ready to head out to work, we've got Jerry Cox here from the Arkansas Family Council. He joins the power panel, Paul Calvert, R.D. Hopper, and Pastor Iverson Jackson with me, Dave Elswick, And we've been talking about the legislature and how well has the legislature done thus far. They're at the end of this particular time. They're finishing up. Who was it that I talked to? I was asking about, used to be a day that after the certain day you couldn't put a new bill in. That's been
not
done
anymore.
Away. That was done away 2 years ago.
Yep. And so they can, you know, before it's all over with, Dave, they will probably end up filing not quite 2,000 bills. I'm not sure what it'll be. One year they filed about 2,500.
Yeah,
I remember that.
But it'll be a bunch, you know, before it's all over with, because they're still filing bills even now. You know, there are a couple of bills that passed so early on in the session that we've almost forgotten about them. And one of those was the protecting the churches from being closed down during a pandemic.
Right.
That was a Mary Bentley. Mary Bentley sponsored that bill. And that's a good law. It's Act 94, and that tells you how long ago it was passed, because they start with number one. But that's a good law. And then the other one that they passed that I hope turns out okay is the No Patient Left Alone Act. That one, I think, started out to be a really strong.
Did we lose him?
We just lost Jerry. He just disappeared.
He was talking about the No Patient Left Alone Act,
yeah.
Which was...
Yeah.
Is he back here?
There he is. He's
Hello?
Back. Yeah, we got you now.
Yeah. Good deal. Well, glad to know I'm among the living. There you go. You know, the No Patient Left Alone Act, I think, started out as a good law, and it got better, and then I'm not sure if it got worse. I can't figure it out, but I do know that people are able to see their loved ones more now than they used to, but I can't figure out if it's all because of just the relaxed, you know, restrictions with COVID kind of tapering off, or if the bill has made a lot of difference. I hope it does. The intent of it, Representative Julie Mayberry sponsored that, and she worked so hard on it to try to be sure that nobody is left alone in the hospital, no matter what their ailment is. And so that's a good law.
Okay. That's a real good law.
Go ahead, Artie.
I'd just like to say, yeah, I appreciate her running that bill. Right now I've got a friend in Richmond, Virginia, that's a Marine Corps colonel that's dying of Lou Gehrig's disease, and his wife can go see him about every 2 to 3 days and spend 15 minutes with him. Oh, so you with
yeah, that's
him.
That's awful.
Yeah, why?
And it's killing me because of whatever laws they have for people coming in to long care facilities. He's in an extended care facilities, and they still have restrictions of how long that they can come in and spend time with them. So you've got a great American hero that is dying alone with his wife spending 15 minutes with him every couple of days.
Yeah, I mean,
and his
Lou Gehrig disease is a, you know, you can't pass
no,
it to somebody. Yeah.
Right. I know, but they're afraid if they let a bunch of family in, they're still afraid of this Chinese virus, of letting families come in and spending time with them and spreading the virus in extended care facilities. So you've got someone that's lonely and that's...
Yeah, they're dying, and they're losing the last few months
of
their life.
And his mind's still fine. He just can't operate his body.
His
it's one of the saddest things that I've ever gone through is, you know, sending letters to him and watching it happen, and can't go be there with him, or his wife can't sit there and hold his hand during this time. But it's a crime that it's happening in America.
Yeah.
Well, and here's what I've told people. Just because you're in a hospital or a nursing home, you're not a prisoner. You're not in jail. You haven't committed a crime. And so at some point, people are going to have to just say, hey, it's my right, because I'm not a criminal. You can't lock me up and just keep me here and treat me like I'm a criminal. So I think this is one that still needs to be worked on some, because I'll tell you, that nursing home lobby was so powerful when this bill came out. They didn't want to have people in those facilities because, you know, it's just more trouble for them if you have people in there. But guess what? They're supposed to be there to serve the patient,
that's
serve
right.
the families of that patient. And if they're not, they need to be.
I agree.
You know, it's just that affected every single one of us in some way where we did not get to go see somebody that we wanted to go see.
All right, we got
the other.
Hold on, we got to take a break, Jerry. Yeah. It's time to take the news at the bottom of the hour, and let's do that. I'll expound on what you're talking about. My brother had COVID-19, and his wife couldn't visit with him, and he passed. We killed him. She wasn't able to visit him. So we'll come back here in just a minute and talk more about this on the Dave Elswick Show. Back with you. Talk that will send a tingle up your leg. Not really. That's Dave Elswick's show. Don't forget about what's going on with Pat Davis. Pat Davis will help you deal with your health care. Have you called him yet, Artie?
No, I haven't.
You got to call. You got to call Pat.
It's not time to renew you.
He's going to reduce your health care costs. I'm just telling you. 30 to 50%. It's really amazing what he can do. If you're a self-employed individual, you're not working for somebody, he can really help you out because, you know, self-employed people don't have much, swing in their stick, so to speak, when it comes to health insurance. So you got to kind of take whatever is offered to them, and you really don't have to do that. Pat will help you out as far as that goes. Make sure you save some money there, too. It's actual insurance. It's not a share plan. A lot of people think it's a share plan. It's not that, and you can choose any provider in the nation. Now, here's what you'll be able to do. You'll have no copays. Excess money goes to the client instead of the insurance company, and you often get a check back from the doctor, urgent care facility, or the hospital, in fact. So talk to Pat about this and let him explain how this works for you and how he can change your health care to be for you instead of being for the insurance companies. That's Pat Davis at 501-605-6935 or yourhealthplanman.com. And that's how you get a hold of Pat. And I highly recommend, especially you guys who own your own businesses, he can help you out with all of that. He's working right now for Medicare and Medicaid as well. That should happen within the next 6 to 8 months, and then I'll be talking to him, just to be honest with you. All right, back to the show. We've got Jerry Cox from the Arkansas Family Council. I asked him to join us today. He wrote a real nice article about what he thought of the legislature thus far. He, you know, he gave them kudos where they had, you know, hugs and kisses coming, and then he slapped them upside the head when they had something that wasn't good that they passed, like the Watertown. They don't call it hate crime, but it is a hate crime bill. And your thoughts on that one? That's what, SB 622?
Yes. They really did not have to pass anything. They could have just said what's true, which is these so-called hate crimes laws don't work. They don't prevent these terrible crimes. If they worked, you wouldn't see all these awful crimes in these other states around the country that have these laws. And so it was just a case of, well, everybody else has got a hate crimes law, and so Arkansas is one of the few states that doesn't. So we've got to pass one, too, so that we look good.
Well, it was all about how we look. Cater to the woke crowd.
Well, and we get shamed that way every time when people look at Arkansas and they say, well, what's wrong with you people? And I'd like to think we've got it right, and these other people are the ones that are going the wrong way. And so here's what they did. There was a very bad hate crimes law that was offered last summer that the governor and Senator Hendren backed. And the legislature, to their credit, dug their heels in and said, no way, we're not doing that. And I thought, okay, well, maybe we'll make it through without one. But here they came with this hate crimes law.
You dropped out again there, Jerry, just so you'll know if you can hear us. I don't know what happens there, but you disappeared. So, of course, we had Senator Alan Clark on that talked about that secondary bill that they did pass. And reading between the lines, it seemed like to me they felt they had to pass something to placate the people.
It was kind of a less bad option.
The best thing was, as Jerry said, or Mr. Cox said, was nothing was the best thing. But it shows the power of Walmart, and it shows the power of the big money in this state, that they thought that they couldn't stand up against them. And I, for a purpose, you know, Dave, have brought up hate crimes every week on this show until session started, and said the governor said he was going to get hate crimes. So it's coming. It's coming. So every week I would bring it up. Yep. And I'm telling you, every week I would text my senator and my House representatives almost every week and said, hate crimes are coming. And we believe that all people are created equal, and that Lady Justice has a blindfold on. And we want to be just Arkansans and Americans is what we want to be. And I'll be, if when it come down the pipe, here it
you
came.
You voted for it.
Well, and one quick thing. Walmart said that we will work on improving this bill.
Yeah, remember that's the day
it passed.
You know, State Senator Allen, to his credit, made a statement on the air. Well, we wanted to get something out so they couldn't get in and throw things at us that we didn't want to deal with. Well, let me just read what Doug McMillon said. He's the president and CEO of Walmart. I got it right here in front of me. We were pleased to see the Arkansas legislature pass needed and long overdue hate crimes legislation. While more work needs to be done to strengthen this proposal, it's not a proposal, gentlemen, it's a law, it was important for Arkansas to join the 47 other states that have adopted these protections for their citizens. We believe it's good for Arkansas to be a welcoming place and to be seen such with decisions like this one. Unfortunately, a number of bills, pivot time now, a number of bills being considered by the legislature targeting the LGBTQ plus community are troubling and work against this goal. These kinds of bills make it harder for employees to grow, recruit, and retain talent that contributes to the state's economic growth. We will continue to advocate on behalf of our associates so their voices are heard and protected. Signed, Doug McMillon, president and CEO of Walmart. So, you know, if Alan Clark thought that this was going to stop all this kind of stuff, and it would stop the left from trying to push through even more restrictive laws, he's wrong, because right here, you know, Walmart saying that we're going to continue to fight with all of this. Jerry, what did you think about what Walmart said?
Well, I told the lawmakers when they told me they were going to pass a hate crimes light bill, I said, laws like this are not the end. They are the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
They are the beginning of passing more, adding more to it and all that. And guess what? That bill hadn't even gotten out of one of the committees until somebody proposed adding categories to it and making changes to it. Mm-hmm. And here you have Walmart before the ink was even on the bill. The governor hadn't even signed it. And they said, well, this is a good start, but more needs to be done. And what this does is it lays the foundation for them to come back in 2 years and just keep adding more stuff onto it. And Dave, I know you and the power panel know this. The end goal in these kinds of laws is not dealing with all these shootings and things like that. These laws will eventually be used to squelch our speech.
Yep, yep.
And they'll be used to silence people like you and me. And it's just a matter of time if these laws keep progressing before they're used that way, because the cancel culture would love to have a law that they could use to shut people down. Right now they shout you down, but they would love to have a law. You know that.
Well, yeah.
And this starts that. This lays that foundation.
You know, Jerry, when you think about, and I did ask that question when we had the senator on, what's in the bill that would prohibit them adding those protected classes back to it later? Because my thought was the 1964 Civil Rights Bill, mm-hmm, that was passed. And here we are, you know, 50 years later, And remember, the Supreme Court added protected another protected class to that law.
Let's just protect people's rights.
Yes. People. That was a big step.
Yeah, that was big. So whether it's the next session or 50 years from now, you know, that's still a door opener there. And that's all they need, because they believe in incrementalism. And that's something we've really got to understand.
And you start off with well, we've got some serious problems with serious human rights violations. The fact is that before the Civil Rights Act of 1964, there were some serious problems with police and other people abusing black people. That was true.
It was clear.
It was clear. But the solution was not to give black people special status. The solution was to actually uphold their human rights.
Equal rights.
Yeah. And so, this pendulum swing was not appropriate. And so anyway, go ahead, Jerry.
Well, that's I think we all get it, and I think most Arkansans get it. Walmart is so out of step with the people that shop in their stores. If you look across the country, people in Arkansas and Texas and Kansas and all, they're just regular folks. Most of them are church-going people. They're not for all this leftist stuff. And I don't believe Sam Walton and his people that started that company would be for that either. But they've drifted so far to the left that they're a problem. They really are a problem. They come to the Capitol and they wield a big stick out there, and they use the Chamber of Commerce, and they work through the governors and other people to get their will and impose that on all the rest of us. And so people just need to be aware of that.
Well, I wholeheartedly hope that our legislators who take money from them for reelection stop. That keeps them from wielding a big stick if they're not in the pocketbooks of all the elected officials. And they sure are in a lot of the pocketbooks of the elected officials. Jerry, got to take one more break, and then we'll be back, and we'll finish up with you here on the Dave Elswick Show on a Monday. We're giving Jerry Cox an hour here on the Dave Elswick Show from the Arkansas Family Council to talk about what has been good in the legislature and what hasn't been so good. And we'll zero in on a couple of other ones that we wish had not passed. SB 622 was one I wish had not passed. PI Roofing wants you to know they hope to come take care of your roof. I was just talking to my wife early this morning. You know, I get up just before 4 o'clock to come in here and get ready to do the show. And she gets up, has about a half a cup of coffee, and then I leave, and she goes back to the bed. And I feel really envious of her as I'm walking out the door. I got to be honest with you. But, we were talking about, she was looking up on the ceiling in the kitchen. She goes, "Is that a leak?" And, of course, that's all she's got to say. And she's got my attention. And I started looking at the ceiling. I said, "No, I don't think so. Turn on the other light." And she turned it on. And it was just a shadow that she said she saw. But I still want to get PI Roofing out to my house. It's been about 14 years since they've really gotten out there and walked my roof. And we've had a little bit of hail, nothing big, but some of you had quarter-sized hail, and hail tears up your roof in ways you wouldn't expect it to in a very quick and efficient way. Mother Nature has her ways. Have PI Roofing come out and look at your roof. They are the roof leak detectives. They know what the precursors are for a leak to get started. So let them come out and take a look. If they find some problems, they'll get with your insurance agent, have their appraiser come on out, walk it with them. And if they find problems, they'll say, "That's a problem. We need to fix it." The appraiser is well, informed on all of that stuff. And he'll say yay or nay. Typically, if they have to replace your roof, all you're going to do is have to pay the deductible. Keep that in mind as well. The phone number is 707-3551, 707-3551, or online to piroofing.com. We were talking here during the break, Jerry, and we wanted to bring up one piece of legislation for you. It's passed both the House and the Senate. It's on the desk of the governor for his signature, and that's Senate Bill 298. And Senator Stubblefield's bill dealing with Arkansas Sovereignty Act of 2021. That's the name of the piece of legislation. And I had on Senator Stubblefield Friday talking about it, and he didn't think there was going to be any problem with the governor signing it. But then I read an article this weekend, and it looks like to me the governor's got all kinds of problems with it. What do you think?
Well, I haven't read the same article yet. I'll probably study that when I get into the office in a little bit. But we're getting into that time of the session. We call it the crazy time. When things that ought to pass fail and things that should have failed pass, this is a very dangerous time from now until the end of this month. And I tell people who lobby at the Capitol, I said, you need to be there during those last 2 weeks because, you know, you'll be surprised about things. So
last day.
Nothing will surprise me from here on out on that. But, you know, Dave, one thing that that I failed to mention is all the good pro-life bills that the legislature's passed.
A bunch of them.
Leading the way is Jason Rayford's bill that totally bans abortions in Arkansas except to save the life of the mother. And, of course, it'll be challenged in court, but hats off to Jason for just stepping up and, you know, we've been saying abortion ought to be illegal. Well, he just went and did it.
Well, that was the object of this, is to get it into the court system.
Absolutely. And but there are probably six or eight other good pro-life bills that have either passed or going to pass. I think Arkansas will maintain its status as the most pro-life state in the nation. And so, you know, even though there are things the legislature has done that make us kind of frown and all, on balance, I think this is one of the best legislative sessions that we have ever had. And I've been going out there for 32 years.
Well, I think it's because the conservatives have finally exerted some of their muscle.
Well, you have to, you know, because Walmart and these other people, they're going to muscle. They're going to elbow people. So, you know, you've got to get in there and push in a nice way, but you have to push.
Well, look at the guys that we picked up on the Senate side with Gilmore and some of the other folks that are part of the state Senate now. So a conservative piece of legislation has a much better chance, if it gets on the floor, of being passed than ever before. Hopefully, maybe we'll come up with a different way of assigning
committees.
You know, committees, so that we don't take the majority, a supermajority, and make them a minority on a committee.
On a committee.
Well, and that's been a problem. There are certain committees out there where you just hit a wall. We did that on some education legislation, bathroom bill. You know, Ken Yang worked on that. Looks like it's not going to go anywhere. That you know, where you got to use the bathroom of your biological sex. Committee has pretty much bottled that one up, and so the committees sometimes are a problem.
Mr. Cox, were you in the committee where the hate crimes bill in the House got put out on the floor? I watched the video of that. You know, I've seen Democrats use that. Were you in the room that day?
Well, actually, I testified, and then I had to go downstairs and testify on another bill. So I was there for the testimony, but I wasn't there for the vote because I had to leave and go do something else. But I watched the video just like you did, and I have seen that done before, and I don't think it's right where the chair gavels out while people are hollering roll call, and they just ignore it. And I've had that happen to us on other bills, and I watched it, and I thought, yep, there it is again.
Well, I've never seen that before myself, but I was talking to a former Speaker of the House.
I saw Jett do it a lot when he used to be in the head of his.
I was talking to a former Speaker of the House, and he was saying that that the members can actually even roll call an adjournment, and so they
tried.
Well, they tried to roll call the bill, but from what this former Speaker was telling me, that members can even roll call the end of the meeting if they want to keep the meeting going. Apparently they have the right to do it, but I don't know.
I've seen Democrats.
I don't know about that.
I don't either.
I've just seen it done. It's happened to us before, you know, where chair doesn't even look up. They act like they can't hear, and people are hollering roll call. It takes two people on a House committee, they have to raise their hand and holler roll call or be seen. Mm-hmm. And she just didn't recognize them. And of course, the speaker upheld that because that hate crimes bill had already been agreed upon by the leadership. And so that's the way it was done.
All right. Before I let you go, any bills that my listeners should be watching for here at the end of the session?
Well, there are a few pro-life bills still working their way through the process out there. So those are some to watch for. If you see anything that deals with abortion, just know that it's still trying to make it. Used car tax. Representative Payton, I think that bill is still trying to make it. And let me tell you, that's been a tough one to do. We've worked on that numerous sessions, and boy, I tell you what, the government doesn't want to part with that money.
Nope.
They want to hold on to every penny of it.
Well, if they want to hold on to fines, you know they want to hold on to taxes on used cars. What can I say about that? Jerry, thanks so much for being part of the Dave Elswick Show today. That hour was very informative, and we appreciate you for it. We'll let you get to work now. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Jerry Cox from the Arkansas Family Council here on the Dave Elswick Show. He's there every day.
Yes.
I don't know how a man keeps his sanity.
32 years, he said.
I know. He's been there every day.
It's a calling.
I remember seeing him, visiting with him right at the beginning when I first got there. And getting to know Jerry and how hard he fought for conservative views. And I'm going to tell you, and pro-life views. But that, I kind of say the same thing if I say conservative and pro-life. But the bottom line is that he's done a great job, and he's in a great position to do great things. All right, we'll be back after the news. Let's get to that. And then the power panel and myself got another half hour. We'll be with you in a second. Let's move into the 7 o'clock hour. It is the Dave Elswick Show. Glad to have you along. Sun's up. Going to have plenty of sunshine today. Some rain coming in tomorrow. It's going to be cold tomorrow morning. They're saying 31 degrees. It's going to have
31.
We're going to have a freeze warning overnight.
What, tomatoes and corn are going to be frozen?
You're going to want to pull them in. Yeah. Bring them in if you can, or at least wrap them in plastic. Try to let them stay a little bit warm.
Man.
Yeah, it's going to get cold. It's not this week, from what I can see, it's not going to get over 65.
Oh. Wow.
I don't like that. Heidi and I are agreeable on this, and that is I can't wait for 90 degrees. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't even opened my pool. I'm afraid I'll find ice on top of it, just to be honest with you.
31 degrees, you will.
Yeah, overnight. It might happen. I'm going to be begging my wife to open it up by this weekend, though. I just want to look at it.
It's good therapy, huh?
I'm tired. I'm tired of looking at the tarp that's over the pool. Get that thing off and let me see the water, okay? And I can start dreaming a little bit.
What did you do during the freeze that you turned it warmer on?
No, I got a chemical ball that you throw there, and it keeps it from freezing. I got the pillows in there to keep it from freezing. Because they move around.
Yeah,
I like to go up to the Ozarks and listen to the water run over the rocks and see the ice. Crawdads. And
it
the
might do. It might not do that by early tomorrow morning. You may go out there and you just hear the ice moving a little bit. Crawdads waving a little white flag.
Yeah, really.
It's slowing the grass down a little bit, so that's
might do that.
Well, that's. I guess that's all right.
Yeah.
Maybe we need one more freeze to kill some of the mosquito larvae, except that I know that cold doesn't kill mosquito larvae.
Well, I wonder if it might kill them if they're partially growing.
Oh, it's not supposed to.
We've already got a few of them out.
We can dream anyway, huh?
They never seem to go away.
They say you can freeze mosquito larvae in ice, and when it when it thaws.
They'll just start wiggling.
They
again.
Start wiggling. Uh-oh. They're ready
yeah,
to go.
Some of those critters are like that.
They're licking their chops.
Human embryos are the same way.
Yeah.
And a lot of animal embryos, I think. You can freeze them hard, and they'll last for years and years and thaw them out, and they're still alive.
Think about that. That's the power of God right yeah. there.
Cryogenics.
Yeah. Cryogenics.
Ask Ted Williams. His head's been frozen somewhere. They didn't take his whole body. They just took his head.
Well, I hope he knew the Lord when they took his head. Because his body might be a little hot right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, well, my problem with Ted was, you know, he could hit, man. He could hit, but if you put you on another body, you it's may not be able to hit again.
Yeah.
You know? Be kind of weird. Come up to the plate and got... It stitches all the way around his neck.
I mean, you watch Frankenstein
at Monster.
But that's a true story. Ted Williams, he believed in cryogenics.
Well, so did he? Did they try to freeze his head before he died?
No, after he died.
After he died. Well, what good is that going to do?
Just as he passed away, they froze his head.
Hmm.
It's just weird.
Yeah,
one more for the books.
Yeah,
yeah.
He wants to come back, hit 400 again 1 year. I guess that's the way it should go. Yeah. He's the last guy who ever did it, so what can I say? Mm-hmm. All right, so we got a half hour here to talk. I pulled this story because I had to read this to you guys. You're going to love this. This university professor at the University of Nevada, Reno, she was doing a lecture there and said that she changed her mind dealing about cancellation. Cancel culture. For Nevada Today, University senior music lecturer Kate Pollard wrote of her own anti-racist journey. The result of her travels, she's nixing songs she used to salute but now perceives as problematic. As it turns out, most all of you have dabbled into the depths of sinister songs. She corralled her choir to sing a medley called An American Trilogy. It included Battle Hymn of the Republic and the tune All My Trials. The collection began thusly, "Oh, I wish I was in Dixie away, away." Call it a lack of awareness, she says. "I don't think I even knew what these songs were about, and I'm fairly certain that none of my middle school students asked about their historical context." In 2009, on the other side of her doctoral work, she eyed a focus on integrating multicultural music into the curriculum. "I learned what authenticity and appropriateness meant in the mid-2000s, she recalls. I researched and delved into cultural relevant studies. She put together a group of American folk songs, Black American folk songs, and songs from other Western and non-Western cultures for students to memorize. But last March, the same week," Kate points out, "that 8 people, most of them Asian women, were murdered near Atlanta by a white gunman, she made the difficult decision to acknowledge her ignorance. As it turns out, many of the songs she taught, not only in middle school but college, were not appropriate. Get your pen and prepare to take notes now." Mainstays as Polly Waddle Doodle and Shortened Bread, her research revealed, are tied to blackface minstrels. Land of the Silver Birch and Canoe Song suffer from the misrepresentation of indigenous Native American and Canadian cultures. Furthermore, if you've ever indulged in Five Little Monkeys or Ba Ba Black Sheep, you were belting out bigotry, entertaining terms used by white Americans to stereotype and degrade black Americans. Kate's righted her wrong. She's acknowledged her illiteracy. Can you cut out America's cancerous carols? Now that I know better and I'm moving forward, I will leave them behind. She is referring, to be clear, to Stephen Foster's songs, among them Oh Susanna and Camptown Races. Also on the outs, a song called America. Some educators defend using these songs, she notes, stating they have historical value. But I don't feel the need to preserve the music. I would rather promote songs that are inclusive than promote songs that, although may have been popular, also marginalized and degrade a population. So the instructor set a high bar. And to be clear, as for the full original lyrics of Oh Susanna, she's not wrong. Seems the nation needs a new start. The time that can only come courtesy of a time machine. Till then, the professor will be 86ing the evils of melodious, problematic poems, including a mainstream previously positioned as an innocent celebration of the most wonderful time of the year. I didn't know that many American folk song traditions are tied, for instance, to blackface ministry, she said. Jingle Bells is one of those songs. About that last iconic anthem, Campus Reform reached out to the author. Pollard told Campus Reform that Jingle Bells is problematic because she read somewhere on the internet, I'm sure, that slave owners used to put bells on slaves to keep track of them, which the Jingle Bells are referencing.
They put bells on horses.
Yes.
And sleighs.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I'm just sitting here, and I would sing a little bit of it, but one of my favorite tunes is Elvis Presley's trilogy.
Yeah.
You know, Dixieland, where I was born,
early on,
one Sunday morn, look away. So, you know, you can take anything and just, this is stupid on steroids.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to read this to you because this is a learned person that proves how ignorant they really are.
I think she's woke now.
And I'm sure she
needs to go back to sleep.
Did she sell her house and her property and give all this to these people that she believes are downtrodden? Or is she just going to make money in a different way now?
How many acres and a mule does she need to give?
Just one. Just one.
Just saying.
Let us prove what she can do with 1 acre, and then maybe we can think about giving her
a jingle bell.
Transgender
please.
Donkey.
You know, but you cannot just say if you don't like a song, don't listen to it, or whatever. But you can't just take history and say it didn't happen, or assign every single thing that someone says or writes. I mean, I'm a Southerner. I love the South. I've lived all over America. But I love the South. You know, when my wife and I, we were getting serious, you know, when we were dating, getting serious, I said, look, I'm not going to stay in Maryland. We were living in Maryland. And I said, I am moving back South. So I love Dixie. And, you know, I don't care what
someone
like that
One of my favorite
writes.
Renditions of Camp Town Racist is done in Blazing Saddles.
Mm-hmm.
here we go.
Where they start singing. They start singing that in all the white masters around.
I've never seen Blazing Saddles.
Well, I'm going to be showing it this year again. I'll make sure you'll have a seat to watch it because it is one of the best satires of racism that was ever written.
It really makes fun of white people.
Oh, my Lord, yes, and it's great.
These people that are trying to elevate themselves are trying to push other people down in saying basically, you know, that I'm awoke now. I'm woke now, and I realize my sins and all the bad things I've done in my life. But what they're doing, they're trying to frame Christians and people from the South to be something that we are not. So they have an ulterior motive, and it's not to do good things.
No.
This woman, I assume that she's a Caucasian or something.
They don't have her picture,
I don't know. She sounds like she's ridden with guilt. I'd like to ask her, when did you discover you were whatever you are?
Guilty.
No.
When did she discover she was white?
You know, because you have to be told that you're white or you're black or you're Asian. Someone has to make that distinction to you before, you know, you go, okay, so now what does that mean? That you know that you're white, that you're black, that you're Asian, that you're whatever.
And there are some implications to it. The reality is that there are still prejudice in various different ways. And the solution to that is justice. Well, the solution is not a pendulum swing.
No, it's not. It's the heart of man, as the scripture says, that the heart of man is desperately wicked. It's evil. So
that's why you don't trust your gut feeling. Just don't ever trust that.
That means there has to be a source of authority for right and wrong besides how you feel.
All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back and do more. We got another about 14 minutes with the power panel. Don't forget, coming up at 7:34, the state chairman of the Republican Party will join me here on the Dave Elswick Show. So do you have questions about, filing your Social Security? You get the answers in a simple, easy-to-understand booklet called Your Guide to Social Security. It's from David Lucas Financial in North Little Rock. Man, he's got so many little publications that can do a great job of educating you. This 27-page booklet outlines what you need to know, and it could help you get even more income when you file for Social Security. If you're within 5 years of filing for your Social Security, get this free booklet now by calling 501-222-3315. As a bonus, you'll receive a free customized Social Security analysis that pinpoints the optimal time to wring every nickel out of your benefits. So pick up the phone, call right now, 501-222-3315. That's 501-222-3315. All right, we continue here on the Dave Elswick Show. The battle hymn of the Republic. All right. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a little background on that real quickly here. I'm pulling it up. And where is it? Is the battle hymn of the Republic a Confederate song? That's a question.
No.
No.
No. Or what is the story behind the battle hymn? Officers of the 5th U.S. Cavalry near Washington, D.C. in 1865... Julia Ward Howe was inspired to write the battle hymn of the Republic after a visit with Union troops in the thick of the Civil War.
That's right.
The real history on that point is clear. Julia Ward Howe wrote the song as a pro-Union, anti-slavery anthem. Now, that lady says it was pro-slavery.
Pro-slavery, yeah.
And it was not.
She maybe she's so woke she needs to go back to sleep.
And they, of course, called it the song, now approaching its 150th anniversary, is a hallowed treasure and a second national anthem. We've turned to it repeatedly in national crises. The battle hymn has inspired suffragists and labor organizers, civil rights leaders, and novelists like John Steinbeck in The Grapes of Wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was written back in 2010.
Now, the truth is irrelevant, Dave. You know that.
Well, yeah, to the left, facts are, not to be taken seriously. And that is the truth. It's all how they feel.
Perception is everything. Truth is irrelevant, and they sure know how to use perception.
Yes, they do.
Unfortunately, that's the sort of thing works. I mean, if you can tell a good story, a lot of times you can be more effective at getting things across to people.
Who was real good at that?
Well, a lot of people are real good at that. What, Bill Clinton?
Well, yeah, he was good at that. I was thinking about somebody overseas that, had concentration camps. He was real good.
Mein Fuhrer?
Yeah. They tell big enough lies often enough, then people start believing it.
Huh? And the reality is it works, though, because the fact is most people are not just technical thinkers. They don't base what they believe on what they've studied and diligently tried to
figure
out.
What did Goebbels say? You tell a big enough lie long enough, and it becomes truth.
I was trying to remember his name. I couldn't remember.
Joseph
it.
Goebbels.
Well,
Minister of Propaganda for the Nazi Germans.
It works, and if you can get people when they're younger and more impressionable, sometimes you don't even have to tell them the lie. You just immerse them in it.
That's what we need to do about our education system. Telling people the lie. Well, they're telling kids a lie at a very young age. They're telling people, the big boom theory, and they're not teaching them creation.
Let me ask you what's wrong with this. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Let's see. What's wrong with that?
It's got God in it.
It's got God in it.
Maybe that's a...
It's a song talking about justice and God's wrath coming against
him. Yeah,
the
truth.
And it's ill justice marching on. Right. Glory, glory, heaven.
Sounds racist about this? Generic justice.
Yeah.
All right. Kevin McCarthy says Maxine Waters is inciting violence in Minneapolis, just as she has incited it in the past. If Speaker Pelosi doesn't act against this dangerous rhetoric, I will bring action this week. And some believe that her comments led to the gunshots that were fired at National Guardsmen in Minnesota.
Well, you have to come to that conclusion.
Well, if you can come to that the riot at the Capitol happened because the president said, be peaceful, and that was enough to set them off, then with her saying that, we've got to get more confrontational, we've got to make sure they know that we mean business, mm-hmm. you know, Auntie Maxine needs mm-hmm. to be brought down a few notches. Let's see if they
she
do it.
She needs to be sent home.
Strip her seat from her.
But we shouldn't be surprised if people on the left maybe softly call for violence, because that is their philosophy.
That doesn't sound soft.
But the philosophy of left-wing socialism is violence in reality. In a nutshell, is you will do what we tell you to, or we will send government officials with guns to hurt you.
Just take a look at the Bolshevik Revolution. Yep. Or go to China and look at what Mao did.
Yes. Watch Maleda on Netflix. Just watch it. She was a hero that fought the Nazis and got a cross of valor from her country. And then when the socialism showed up, they executed bowing a knee.
Who else was a hero? Castro. Yeah. Castro was a hero.
Hey, did you see where Raul stepped down as the head of the communist government in Cuba?
Wow.
Yeah, he finally did, because they've had him on life support. They may have had him cryogenically frozen. I don't know. But, something to think about. Well, guys, we're out of time. We didn't have a lot of time to talk about some of the stories that are out there, but we did something even better. We talked about what's been going on in the session mm-hmm. and the things we need to be proud of and the things that perhaps...
Work on a little bit more.
Come out and visit. It's a crazy time right now, but come see the sausage
being made. Yeah, it's going to get crazy.
The last day, when they've got something in the closet that they don't think is going to work, the last day and the last meeting is usually when they try to slip it in there.
And also, let's be thankful for those that are working hard for us.
Absolutely. Yep. All right, let's take a break. Rush is up, then we'll be back. The chairman of the GOP here in Arkansas. Got a special guest for you in just a moment, but first I need to talk to you about St. Clarity Residential Cleaning. I'm talking about deep cleaning. You know about the corners where you get down and you scrape the dirt out of them, or you get down on your hands and knees and you scrub the baseboards to get all the marks off. That's deep cleaning. I know that I don't do that kind of deep cleaning, and that's why I'm willing to pay them the price that they need out of St. Clarity to get them to come out to your house and to do that. Excuse me. My allergies are definitely messing with me this morning. I'll do this in just a moment. I'm having problems with my throat right now. Sorry. Janelle's here from the Arkansas Republican Party. She is the chairman. Welcome to the show, Janelle. And I'm going to let you talk for a few moments about the dinner that's coming up and who's going to speak.
Terrific.
Move up on that. I'm going to move you up on the microphone there.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell us.
Yes, we are so excited. Our Reagan Rockefeller dinner is coming up June the 4th. We are so thrilled that Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota is going to be our speaker. She is, as you know, a leading conservative voice. Right now, people have been so respondent to her because of her fight against all of the protocols for the COVID. She refused to issue the mask mandate there in South Dakota, and she kept her state open. She kept her businesses open, and they did very well. So people are really impressed with her leadership. They have followed her, and she's probably going to be one of our presidential candidates.
I think so.
In 2024. So we are super excited to have her in, and look forward to seeing a lot of you out there.
I think though she'll run for president, I think she probably will end up being a VP candidate for somebody.
That's could what be. I think cabinet. You never know.
Yeah. Possibility.
She's a good person. She really is. She's a good person. And I know there's some of you have to, what she did about boys playing girls sports and all. Look, you got to understand what she did. She went in and asked them to change the law because they extended theirs to college, and the NCAA said they wouldn't do anything with the state that had that up into the collegiate realm. So she made some amends for the NCAA. Mm-hmm. The NCAA has here just in the last 2 weeks has been very outspoken about this. They're even challenging if they want to come to states that have had high school students affected by this. Of course, I hadn't been thinking that the Final Four was coming to Little Rock anytime soon, but still, I'm tired of these, quote, woke corporations or woke organizations that want to force down our throats their thoughts.
Well, and I think that's something...
That goes with Walmart. I'm one of the people that have been yelling at McMillan. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that's something you're going to hear from Governor Noem about. We got to hear her back in January at the RNC meeting in Florida. We had three dinners, which in Republican politics means you need three speakers.
Right.
And we heard from Kristi Noem, Nikki Haley, and Ron DeSantis. And I would say...
Well, now those are three presidential candidates.
Sure are. Right. I think they were picked for a reason. And you sort of expected DeSantis and Haley, who have been national figures big time, to do pretty well, and their speeches were great. But if I'm being honest with you, I was probably the most impressed with Governor Noem's speech and talking about some of the things you are in the cancel culture and what it's like to be a governor on the front lines of that across the country. And so it was a great speech. But the good thing about the Reagan Rockefeller, tickets available at ArkansasGOP.org.
There you go.
There's the plug. Is it's really the greatest collection of Republicans from across the state. And when you think about it, coming up on June 4th, by the time we get to the Reagan Rockefeller next year, we will not have candidates. We will have nominees. And so this will be around 600 people. We will sell out, and it will be all of the folks running for governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general. Federal delegation is a little spotty. It depends what is going on that week, if they can be here. But if they can be here, they certainly will. And so while we have a keynote speaker, just remember that is only one aspect of what happens. Republicans from all corners of the state will be there, and it is our largest event every year. Unfortunately, we scrapped it last year.
Had to.
There were a couple times we thought we could pull the trigger on a smaller event with a speaker, but then the speaker's schedule and trying to fly across the country last summer was not the easiest thing, most affordable option either to do. So we're excited to bring it back this year. Again, ArkansasGOP.org.
All right. You want to go hear what she has to say. She is one of the clear thinkers out there. And by the way, she doesn't just pose with a rifle. She actually uses it to shoot pheasants and things of that nature.
She hunts in Arkansas.
Yeah. Oh, does she?
She sure does.
Does she do duck hunting out here, or does she come for deer or what?
It was duck hunting. Mm-hmm. She came in and hunted with our lieutenant governor.
Well, you got to, if you're going to do duck hunting, you got to come to Arkansas. I mean, we're right on the flyway.
It's the national duck hunting capital.
Yeah. You got to come down here and do that. Of course, if you're with Cheney, you got to know the rules of going out and hunting.
Bush 43 said
I talked
that.
To him. I talked to him about that, and he said, Dave, the guy got in front of me. Yep. And when you're duck hunting, you don't get in front of the people. You stand in a straight line.
Bush 43 said after that happened, sometimes when Cheney would just walk into somewhere like the Blue Room where a crowd was already gathered, Bush would just yell, duck.
That's good. Well, anyway, I just know that Vice President Cheney was a great guy. I really enjoyed sitting down and just talking to him, not on the air, just talking to
him.
At that point, he'll say things that he can say. I didn't say that. What are you talking about? I didn't say that. I loved him. He was great. So how are things going with the party right now, Janelle? Are things looking up on the grassroots? The last time we had you here, that was the thing that you wanted to work on. How's things going as far
as
that's concerned?
We are so excited. We've been able to get into several of our counties and visit with our county committees. We are here and ready to give them any assistance and resources we can. We did have our chairman's training a few weeks ago. We had a retreat out at Ferncliff here in Little Rock, and we have a chairman's manual that we share with them, and did a lot of training there. Had in some of our elected officials to visit with them as well, but we want to give them what they need to succeed, to understand what their authority is, what their power is there at the, and the responsibility there at the county level and the grassroots, and we want to get them built up as much as we can. So that's where we're headed.
I've been very, very pleased with the state legislature, Mark Johnson and some other folks, Lowry and other people involved, but they have made some definite changes to the election law here in Arkansas, and they have tightened it up, and they've done a great job. And let me just say, the reason they tightened it up is because Pulaski County should be ashamed of themselves, and the judge should be ashamed of himself. And they made sure that they dealt with that. And I've been saying since the election, elections are held by states, all right? The federal government sets up times and things of that nature, but the states set up how they're going to do their elections. So it was incumbent upon us as Arkansans and as our elected officials of Arkansas to deal with this ridiculousness that went on in the last election in Pulaski County, and they have. I mean, just so you'll know, no longer will you be able to go into the booth and have a ballot unless you have a picture ID. You must show your picture ID. Well, you can't just sign a form that says, I'm Dave Ellswick.
Right, and that's what people thought the law was, right? People thought voter ID meant voter ID.
Yes, they did.
Except when you get into Pulaski County and you see that several hundred folks just sign, oh, I am Dave Ellswick, you know, without showing any identification.
Yeah, and for you that signed my name, I'm still ticked off. No, I'm just, they didn't do that.
And this is a huge problem. In that, and this has happened, I'm sure, around the nation as well as Arkansas.
Yep.
But we have laws on the books, and they're just not being followed.
Yep.
So, unfortunately, they had to go back in and try to make some of them stronger, tighten them up a little bit. But there's got to be accountability.
Well, my thanks again to State House of Representative Mark Lowry. He's the one that made sure you've got to show a picture ID, and of course to State Senator Mark Johnson. Since he's so ingrained in Pulaski County, he really wanted to get that all straightened out. And I think they've gone a long way of tightening it up enough that the judges won't be able to make the moves they did in the last election.
Well, and one of those things just this past week was that the election staff, the workers, will report to the commission. That's the way it should be, right?
Yep.
It's actually an election commission that runs an election. It isn't the county clerk. The county clerk has one responsibility when it comes to elections, and that's to register voters. Now, they do a lot more, but that is the only thing they are instructed to do, is to register folks. But actually certifying the election results and being the final judge on whether a ballot is counted or not is totally done by the commission. So when you get into Pulaski County and you have a Republican election commission, because every election commission is two Republicans and one Democrat, since we're the majority party, when you have a Republican commission and a county judge who has the key to all the buildings in the city, I mean, the Democrat county judge locked out Republicans from their offices, not from just general meeting spaces, which he also did, but literally their individual offices here in the county they were locked out of and not gained access to. So you can see where there's an issue where Democrats want to cling to what power they can, which is really Little Rock at this point. And it's little clarifications like that that staff will report to the commissioners, which you shouldn't have to write into law.
I agree.
We should have understood that. But if that's what it's going to take, then that's what we're going
to
do.
When you're when you're dealing with Democrats, you have to put it into law. I'm just saying.
Right.
Look, I grew up outside of Chicago. I'm just saying. You got to have control of the elections. Mm-hmm. You really, really do. And I think on our commission, Christy and Evelyn did a really good job. Evelyn took a lot of guff from that judge. That was ridiculous. Absolutely.
Well, God bless them. That's all I can say. Yeah, they stood up. God bless them for doing that job.
They did. They stood up about it. And if you're a Republican, you should be very, very proud of what they did. All right, let me try to do St. Clarity again, and then we'll get into our break. And then when we come back, we'll continue and finish up our conversation here with the chairman of the GOP in Arkansas, Janelle Fulmer, here on the Dave Elswick Show. Don't forget about St. Clarity residential cleaning. I was telling you about cleaning out the corners and wiping off the baseboards and all that. I don't typically do that when I'm cleaning my house. Cleaning my house is, if you can get me to dust, I will dust. And then I run the sweeper and I run a mop across the floor. That is kind of Dave Elswick's version of doing the cleaning. In the kitchen, I'll get out the 409 or whatever and clean the counters and things of that nature. These folks go a whole lot deeper than that. When they're done, you'll be able to walk in your house and it will smell exceedingly clean. I'm just telling you. And they charge about $300 to clean your home if it's up to 2,500 square foot. However, because I know the owner of St. Clarity and worked with her, we've got a 50% off coupon for you here at the radio station. And you'll get that house cleaned for only $150. Just call 404-6560 after 9 o'clock. Talk to Chuck, and he'll make sure you can buy that coupon. And we're running out, so you'll want to do that today. That's St. Clarity Residential Cleaning. We're going to get back and finish up our conversation with the GOP chairman of Arkansas here in just a moment. Want to remind you about Dustin Turner and what he can do for you. Right now, it's a seller's market because the inventory out there, how many houses are on the market, is slim right now. So people might get into a bidding war wanting to get into your house. Or they know that interest rates are at an all-time low right now, so now's the time to borrow the money to buy a house. So with those two things in your favor, what you want to do is to make sure that you show your house, you have your house prepared so that when people come through and they look at it, it makes the best impact on people and they want to buy it. And that's where Dustin Turner comes in. He can tell you all of the ins and outs of all of that so that you can get the best price you can get for the home you're trying to sell. All you need to do is call Dustin at 501-952-2969. That's 501-952-2969. Or go online to HomeTeamSoldIt.com. That's HomeTeamSoldIt.com. Call the only agent that I would call if I needed to sell my home, which is going to be in about 2 years. You know, I'll be working with Dustin Turner at that time. I might have to move it up if the market stays as red hot as it is and go ahead and sell it now and be done with it. But the number again, 501-952-2969. Get involved with Dustin Turner. All right, let's get back and talk to the chairman some more here on the Dave Elswick Show. Let's, again, we've got the Reagan and Rockefeller dinner coming up. What's the date for that? Where is it going to be held at? Where do people get the tickets at? And who's the special speaker for the dinner?
Yes, sir. So our Reagan Rockefeller dinner is June the 4th at the Benton Event Center.
Good place.
Yes, it is. They've been very good to us. So we're going back out there, and there will be a photo reception before the dinner if you choose to come. It is an extra charge. And then the dinner afterward with Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota. And Seth, what's that address?
That'll be ArkansasGOP.org. We'll get you there. Reagan Rockefeller dinner will be right there at the top. You can click on there. Well, again, that's going to be at the Benton Event Center. A reporter once asked me, does the party just do events in Benton so that Doyle Webb didn't have to go far from his house?
Oh, God.
And I think there is some truth to that. But yeah. It really is a great facility. And for a lot of folks, if you're coming from Lake Village or Bentonville, I mean, it's quite a journey depending where you go. So it's centrally located if you're coming from Jonesboro or Texarkana or generally anywhere. So
okay, now if you can't remember all the information we just gave you, go to my Facebook page, Dave Elswick Show on Facebook, and I just saw a note from Elizabeth, and we've put a link on my Facebook page so you can go right to it and get your tickets. I know you want to hear this lady speak. Mm-hmm. She's good. She's real good.
Once again, that's just a speaker. This will be the largest gathering of Republicans probably for the next year till we have, you know, the primary seems far out, and it is. It's more than a year out. You know, it's May 24th of next year. But by the
Are you sure it's May?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because it's not a presidential.
Right. So it'll be May 24th. And you know, by the time we get to that point next year, you know, to early June, just a couple weeks before, we'll have had the primary. So we'll have nominees or might be engaged in runoffs or whatever it may be. So, but if you want to see your Republican officials, this is the place to be. Again, around 600 people, and we will sell out.
Yeah, it always sells out. Mm-hmm. That's so always good.
You want to see those candidates who have already announced. You need to be there.
Let me remind everybody about Doyle Webb and what he did about 5 years ago. Never forget it. Went to the meeting, and guess who the speaker was? Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. We were the first state to invite him.
That's right.
And he showed up here. It was great.
Donald Trump spoke, and then he became president. Tucker Carlson spoke back when he was just a contributor, and then he went on to have the largest show in cable news. So
he's doing great.
When Judge Jeanine Pirro came a couple of years ago and Doyle introduced her, he said, you know, if there's a Supreme Court vacancy, you better watch out, Judge, because people who speak here go on to do great things.
Well, it'd be great to put her on the Supreme Court. Oh, my God, the left's head would explode.
It would.
I mean, it really would. I mean, they'd have to get some duct tape and wrap it around their head to keep it together.
The court would become way more interesting.
Yeah, it really would. I'd like to hear her question some of the lawyers when they were up in front of her. It'd be a lot of fun. All right, so let's talk about, you said that you met with all of the chairmen from all the different states.
A lot of them.
Okay.
From Arkansas, from our counties in Arkansas.
That's what I meant. Mm-hmm. And your big push is grassroots.
Yes.
And talking to the folks and getting people together. Are you going to go out and talk to, I don't even know if there's any Tea Party groups that are still together, or if they are, they've probably changed their names. Mm-hmm. Are you going to go out and solicit their support of the Republican brand?
Absolutely. We would love to have, and I believe there are still some Tea Party. I got an invitation to join a Tea Party group on Facebook the other day. So
cool.
I know there are still some. And they, I align very much with the Tea Party, very conservative, and I appreciate all of their work, their efforts, their drive to keep our candidates accountable. I would very much love to visit with them and bring them on board.
All right. Well, they're listening right now, so maybe you'll get an invite to come and talk at lunches.
Absolutely.
And stuff.
Absolutely.
They'd look forward to doing that. You happy with what's been going on in the legislature? I do believe that Republicans have shown themselves pretty good during this legislative session, especially the conservatives.
I think you probably know that we are not only the reddest state in the nation, but we are also the most pro-life state in
the nation. Yes, we are.
So I'm very proud of that. And, of course, they've gotten some other legislation through that felt very important, like the Stand Your Ground law and the sovereignty bill.
We're waiting for the governor to sign or just to let it become law.
Yeah. Right.
Which, of course, is really
just kind of affirming the 10th Amendment.
Yeah.
Right?
That's all it is.
I think that's a great thing. And then all these election integrity bills I have been very important. And, you know, we discussed last time I was here that I'm on the Election Integrity Committee at the RNC, and we're meeting this week, and we'll be having a meeting with that committee. So see what's going on nationwide. But I think that Arkansas has really been a front runner.
All right. Give them the website again.
Once again, that is ArkansasGOP.org. Tickets on sale both for the photo reception and for the dinner. Just look at the banner there on the top, Reagan Rockefeller 2021.
All right, we're out of time. We'll get the chairman back on when she gets back in town here on the Dave Elswick Show, 6 a.m. tomorrow, Elizabeth Sotolaro, and then the Bible Guys.